The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up on Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall, we'll be talking to Matt Rhines, a native of New Hampshire who's been resident here in Columbia for 3 years. He's been a location independent professional here in Columbia. He's set up with a long-term girlfriend, but he's now about to embark on a new venture opening in the middle of May. He'll be launching his new restaurant called The American Kitchen in a suburb of Bogota. So we're going to be talking to Matt about what it entailed to open a business, what kind of menu he's offering, and of course, who are his clientele. This will be a very interesting show today, discussing the ins and outs of businesses and sort of, let's say, business politics here in Columbia. So tune in later to Columbia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the Overseas Ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, Richard McCall, your host here in Bogota, Colombia. Later on, we'll be interviewing, as is the norm on this show, Columbia Calling. We'll be interviewing a very special guest. This week, his name is Matt Rhines, a native of New Hampshire, resident here for 3 years in Bogota, and now on the verge of opening up his own restaurant, American Style Food, in northern Bogota, in fact, in the suburbs of Bogota, in a town called Cota. So we'll be talking to him all about what it's like to open a business, what's the politics of opening a business, who are going to be his clientele, what is his menu, and basically wishing him all the best in this new and exciting venture in his life. So that's where coming up from the second segment of the show with Matt Rhines. So yes, Colombia, well, what doesn't happen here? When is it not an interesting time to live in Colombia? But I have to celebrate a little. I've celebrated a little this week, and because last week was really, there were some very red letter days for us. Those of you who listen to my show will know that I have a small hotel in a town called Mompox, which is basically not close to anywhere in Colombia, and we made a major breakthrough last week. We had a piece in the New York Times come out about Mompox and mention us quite heavily, and of course I was quoted on a few occasions, of course, having been interviewed by the author Nicholas Gill, who we had on the show. many months back when he was in Montpost, but you always worry a little bit that perhaps the editor will kill the story or something. But anyway, it finally came out. So on May 4th, in the hard copy of the New York Times in the travel section, there is a piece about Montpost, Colombia, and of course all about the Casa Amarilla. And so that was my week probably couldn't have got any better with that. And previously we've been featured in the Biography Channel's website. That's National Geographic's Biography Channel. But that, you know, more or less in the wake of Gabriel Garcia Marquez's passing. And then the Smithsonian magazine picked up on the New York Times article and ran a sort of mention of it on their website and in their magazine. So it's been a very, very good week. And then on top of that, those of you who listen will know that last year I studied more or less a master's in conflict resolution here in the Javeriana University in Bogota. Well, I graduated on Saturday and received a prize for my GPA. So that was very flattering indeed. I don't think I've ever won any prizes for academia before. So it took me three universities and and to come to Colombia to do so. So that's very, very exciting. I got to meet the ambassador, the British ambassador to Colombia last week as well, as the alumni representative of Exeter University here in Colombia. The university had a soiree, let's say, because there are now two scholarships awarded to Colombians of, let's say, lesser economic means, to offer them £25,000 each for a year studying in Exeter for a One Planet MBA. So it's a sort of sustainable business planet MBA. So very exciting. So it's a big deal. And so the ambassador came along, and I'm always amazed at how cagey these sort of, let's say, diplomats or, you know, international politicians can be. We talked a little bit about the sort of, let's say, the travel warnings here in Colombia and how things are interpreted abroad and how things can be interpreted here. And Lindsay Appleby Crosby, I believe, is the ambassador's name. Anyway, he's been responsible for, you know, a big turnaround in the travel warnings to Colombia from the UK Foreign Office. I can't speak on behalf of the US Foreign Affairs website, but the UK Foreign Office has really sort of turned some things around. But we got onto the subject of the terrible story, the tragic story of Henry Miller, and my heart goes out to his family and friends who must be suffering and grieving at this time, because Henry 2 weeks ago passed away in Putumayo. Henry was a 19-year-old student from the UK, about to go off to university, I guess, in September. And he engaged in some shamanistic rituals in Peru and other countries. They call the hypnotic brew ayahuasca. Here in Colombia, it's known as yahe. And the probable cause of death is Henry that actually undertook a second ceremony too soon, which triggered some sort of I couldn't really tell you, triggered some sort of effect, and Henry died during the ceremony. And what hasn't come out in the UK press, who of course are screaming, the scandal and so on and so forth, is that he died during the ceremony, and the shaman's sons, worried, were trying to take his body elsewhere on a motorcycle, and they couldn't carry him, and he fell off the motorcycle, cracked his head open, and they tried to, I think they were trying to dump him in a lake and make it look like, you know, sort of a accidental cause of death. But this is a dreadful, dreadful happening here in Colombia. And again, as I say, my heart goes out to his family and friends who must be grieving and inconsolable at this point in time. Ayahuasca is, yahe is something that's incredibly traditional and sacred to the indigenous peoples of this region. And yet we must remember that they are conditioned to these type of ceremonies, very sacred ceremonies, hallucinogenic ones, to see the future and to digest the past. The mass marketing and commercialization of said ceremonies to Western people perhaps is not the way forward. These are things that belong within the indigenous communities. And so that's something I just wanted to share with you listeners out there today, my feelings on this. While I have participated in a Yahe ceremony in Peru years ago, I can tell you now that that was my first and my last experience. I cannot recommend the ceremony. All I can say to people is, if you are interested, do your research, feel comfortable, and understand the whole sacred process from the preparation, your preparation, the shaman's preparation, the preparation of the ayahuasca itself, the ceremony itself, and then the interpretation of your dreams under the influence. It is incredibly sacred. It is incredibly profound and intensely personal, and it's not to be taken lightly. This is not a backpacker trip. That's what I think I want to get across. But anyway, we'll be coming back in the show, talking to Matt Rhines. We'll be talking about business. We'll be talking about restaurant business here in Colombia. Please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you all. You can email me at columbiacalling@gmail.com. And of course, you can see our website, columbiacallingradio.com. So I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. And we'll be right back with our interview with Matt Rhines.
OverseasRadio.com. Broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, The Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th, and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemisphereslpublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here talking to Matt Rhines. Matt Rhines is this week's guest. Matt is an American here in Colombia. He's been here for 3 years. Why is he on the show? Well, first, I mean, he got in touch. He's one of our listeners, so that's always very flattering to have, a fan get in touch and talk about the podcast. But Matt is also, he's a resident here in Colombia. He's a writer, originally from New Hampshire. And he's now here, and I wanted to bring him on because this guy is, after 3 years of working as a writer here, with his regular gigs back in the USA, maintaining a lifestyle, he's decided to set up a business, and it's a business based on sort of, flattery from friends. So, I think it's very interesting that we could talk to a new small business owner and all of the issues that entails here in Colombia, of which there are many, because I know there are people out there listening who are thinking of businesses or, setting up overseas for a different quality of life. But anyway, so Matt is opening
what would amounts to be an American restaurant in a suburb of Bogota. It's basically part of Bogota. It's a section called Cota, C-O-T-A. And it's called American Kitchen. And Matt, welcome on the show.
Great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Now tell us a little bit about yourself, Matt. How is it that you, a writer, and you're now becoming a chef and a restaurateur?
That's a good question. I guess I've always circled food a little bit. I've always liked to cook going back, I guess it's probably 15 years now. And I always enjoyed the process. And I cooked a great deal in the United States. And as I got here, I realized certain things were drastically less expensive, mm-hmm. and others were drastically more expensive. So I really started to get into it, but when people tell you you should open a restaurant, it's basically an extended compliment. But here, it's very realistic, very possible, given overhead in general, prices of rent, prices of everything. So it started leaning more towards a reality.
So, I mean, this is not something you would have ever considered doing in the U.S.
I guess I would say I kind of kicked tires. I thought about it, but then when you think about even the food trucks are $250,000, you kind of second guess yourself, am I that good? And then you have a successful career. I was in sales all my time in the U.S., and it's kind of tough to pull that trigger on anything more than a hot dog cart.
But you're not. It's not a food truck what you're opening up in Cota.
It's a very small place, but it's a restaurant.
And so this extended compliment came about, and you've been receiving it forever. But where did you really learn to cook in the first place?
I think it probably went back to college, and every once in a while I'd skip classes to stay home and cook. And then after that, I always enjoyed it. And of course, the cooking shows are pretty far from reality, but you do pick up things. It does pique your curiosity. And now, literally anything you want to learn, anything you want to know, any technique is a Google search away.
So you're a self-trained chef.
Absolutely
self-trained chef.
Sure, I have, friends, family, but...
Uh-huh. So now, and then you've got this place. You're saying it's small. I mean, how many sort of square meters are you talking about? Do you have an idea of how big it is? To tell me.
I anticipate 3 or 4 tables. I don't know, anywhere from 4 to 6 people a piece, and then do the math. If I set up a different bar with kind of unique seating for Colombia, anyway, side by side. So, like I think 3 or 4 tables. Think maybe a lunch spot. I just hate saying fast food because then people associate that with the $1.50 hamburgers you get in the street here and things like that.
Yeah, I was gonna launch into that. Are you gonna be off? You're not gonna be offering these hot dogs that they have here in Colombia with about 5 different sauces on top and the venomous pineapple sauce that they put on hot dogs. I'm sorry, it's just wrong. Is that you're not gonna be offering that, or are you gonna have to, let's say, formulate your menu to cater to the local crowd?
Definitely no on the hot dog. But, there are hot dogs here that I enjoy, and they're very souped up, and I'm used to the dirty water dogs at Fenway Park. Maybe you get Golden's mustard on it, and that's about it. But I do want to mesh concepts from Colombia, ingredients from Colombia. For the most recent example I can think of, which I had intended to bring you, but I didn't love it, so I left it behind, was... everybody's familiar with potato salad.
Right.
It's a good restaurant item because it's cold, keep it in the fridge, forget about it. Obviously, criollas are very popular here, and with reason. And they're inexpensive, so you can make a nice roasted criolla salad, mix it with the mayonnaise, and then you're using a Colombian ingredient. But people here really don't eat potato salad that I've seen, or certainly not often. So hopefully I can mesh the two, an American concept, Colombian ingredients.
I think that sounds like a recipe for success. Now tell us a little bit more about the menu. We know there's potato salad. We know we're not going to get the dirty water dogs. But what are you going to be offering? What are going to be your, let's say, representative pieces?
So definitely, like you're saying, or like I was saying, rather, fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Only fast to the extent that the location is small.
Sure.
You couldn't take your time if you wanted to, other than special events. So there's several things I kind of hang my hat on. There's a meatloaf that I like to make a lot, and people here, again, aren't all that familiar with
mm-hmm.
meatloaf, even though hamburger, any of the ingredients I use, peppers on it, are incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
So conceptually, the idea is to marry an American word or an American name that Colombians speak. For example, I think 99 out of 100 Colombians know that mother is madre.
Yeah.
So therefore, you could call it mother's meatloaf. Keep a consistent short menu and then have probably a daily change as well as a weekly change.
Yeah, I think it's very important that. And because if I go to a restaurant and there's almost the menu is too big. Well, first of all, here in Colombia, I'm always a bit wary, because first of all, they're not going to have half of it on there. It's like, oh, no, today the things didn't come. Fine, that's fine. Just don't have it on the menu. Or the worst thing that can happen is when I walk into a restaurant thinking, or a restaurant that I know and I frequent, all the time or something like that, and he goes, and the waiter says, well, today we don't have, So you're right, well, there's three things. So you're gonna have a specialized menu that is key, and you're not gonna be diluting it. It's gonna be your strong platters.
Yes, something that people can always say. Oh, I can always get a meatloaf sandwich here.
Okay,
every day of the week.
But it sounds like that. When we talk about meatloaf and we talk about potato salad, give us a few more examples.
One weekly special that I might do is, again, an American word would be California.
Mm-hmm.
California sushi.
Uh-huh.
Again, avocado, very inexpensive, things like that I can do. Another one, Maryland crab cakes.
Maryland crab cakes.
Tough to get fresh crab here.
Yeah, we're quite far from the coast.
Cuban sandwiches, because I get pork is a very, very fresh. I mean, they don't even really use the term grass-fed because it's kind of a given.
Yeah. So your Cuban sandwiches, California sushi. You know how to make sushi. It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy to the extent that if somebody wanted to go grill a chicken, you could probably stumble through it on your first try.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, you improve exponentially. It's not difficult. It's after. You need to practice a little bit, but it's not terrible. It's really not.
Okay. So that's good. So any vegetarian options out there?
I don't think so. I'm such a carnivore. I don't want to. I don't know. I guess if I were to do something Italian, maybe a New York style pizza. Although there are plenty of pizzerias in Cota.
Yeah.
Something like that, but. Not true vegetarian like you're thinking.
Okay, and so why did you choose Cota? Why did you choose that area? I mean, is it just out of convenience for where you live, or is it because you see an opportunity there?
I'd say convenience and cost. I live in Cebu, which is about as northwest, or at least as north of the city as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And door-to-door, I'm only 12 kilometers.
Yeah.
Now, with traffic, that could be 2 hours.
It could be.
Unfortunately. But I didn't start at Cota. I ended up there. Again, a lot of it was finance-driven,
mm-hmm.
the practicality of opening a business here in Colombia. And it was very reasonable. It's off the center of Cota, but not too far off. It's a good place where I don't have to make a mess of the kitchen apartment.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Matt Rines, who's an American here in Bogota, Colombia, who's after 3 years being here, working as a writer, location independent writer here in Bogota. He's decided to open up his restaurant called American Kitchen, and we'll be coming back to talk further about the crux of opening a business here in Colombia with Matt. Don't go away. This is Colombia Calling.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In three easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trusts, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You are thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here with Matt Rhines, a U.S. citizen who's been resident here in Columbia for 3 years. He's a writer, sort of location independent business, and you know, like the dream, he's basically starting his own restaurant, which will be open at some point in May. We'll check out his Facebook site, which is just check out American Kitchen Bogota, I think, or American Kitchen, and it will come up on Facebook. Soon there will be a website and a Twitter handle and all of those other social media things that we need for today's business. But you know, we all have a dream about being our own boss and opening up a business, and I indeed opened up a hotel, and I've thought about a restaurant, but you know, I find it kind of, I mean, the idea for me was really enslaving. Let's get things straight. I don't like to cook. I'd be hiring people, but it would be my brainchild, sure. You know. But you're out there in Cota, and Cota is a suburb of Bogota. I mean, really, as you say, we know it's an affluent area and stuff, but it's rural. So you've got the marketplace, you've got mm-hmm. the marketplaces there, and you'll be able to find the producers and the farmers from which to buy and have you. So you've got this is going to be easier for you. I mean, it's going to be a plus in itself. Why you yes. set up in Cota?
Yes, for me it's an absolute. I can walk to a number of farms that grow produce. There's any number of reasons not to open a restaurant, and they're all incredibly valid.
Yeah.
Some of Anthony Bourdain's writing, he says, well, you have to worry about employees and taxes, and then handling the different distributors and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And if you go through the litany of reasons to not open a restaurant, they're not negatives here. Uh-huh. They may even be positives. The produce is fresh. It's cheap. The labor is easy to come by. They're grateful. It's every bad thing is a good thing here, largely.
Oh, that's good. And so we're in Cota. I mean, we're looking at it. You're on the Avenida Libertador. You're going to be opening up in May. You're just around the corner from the main drag. You're by the church. So you're in a pretty key position there. I mean, the location is everything, which is, of course, in a restaurant business, is everything as well. So you can be seen. But let's talk about the economics of it. I mean, your producers are there. So you're not spending a fortune on, you know, shipping in products that you need. They're right there. You've got, you know, hopefully, because you're in that sort of, let's say, the urban center of Cota, so you've got, a great big economical ways. Area you can dip into for clients. But who are going to be your clients? I mean, who are the people you are aiming at? Because, like, you know, you're not hoping, I mean, you're not expecting the expat community in Bogota to head out every lunchtime to American Kitchen.
No, I'd like to think the food is good, but I don't know. where the trek from Candelaria.
People trek out to the food. I mean, you know, if you
on the weekends, absolutely. But I have been, and I plan to do a little bit more catering.
Okay.
And then Cota being, like we were saying, an affluent area, I hope the people will come out. Their children are speaking English or learning English. I hope that will pique their curiosity. A little more speaking in English, maybe. Mm-hmm. But really, I'd like the... Cota's bigger than, I believe, around 25,000 people.
Hey.
I think I looked 10 years ago, it was 20,000, which came from Wikipedia, so I'm sure it's dead on accurate. But... I hope to get a lot of people, a lot of, as they say, voz a voz here, a lot of word to mouth. Oh, there's a crazy American up the hill cooking and stuff like that.
Well, it will be an attraction. I mean, are you the only foreigner that has a place in Cota? Or is there someone else? There must be a crazy German with a cheese shop or something.
I haven't seen one. I'm told anecdotally by the residents of Cota that there are quite a few people.
Uh-huh.
My first friend here in Bogota used to live in Cota.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a presence of, I guess, maybe the English teachers. Maybe they're transient. I don't know of any. I wouldn't want to say that there aren't any. I do get obviously, you know, as Americans, or as gringos, so to speak, down here, we're not a rarity.
No, not at all.
You probably walk outside and swing a dead cat and hit three of them.
Yeah.
But in Cota, I do get a lot of the people looking at me like I have three heads.
It's rural Colombia, really. Even though it's tacked onto the side of Bogota, it is rural Colombia. I mean, it does feel different out there. But then you've got the international schools, which aren't far away from there either. So you're going to get some foreign teachers, I'm sure, living in the area and stuff. But that's not going to be your market. Your market will be the residents of Cota.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, I mean, it's interesting to know. And of course, I think that's the key to any business, really. I mean, you've got to get the locals on board. If they don't eat at your place regularly, you mean that's it, you've sunk.
Still need a backbone.
Yeah.
And even though I hate to keep going back to meatloaf, but even though that's a foreign concept to many, if you explain to a Colombian that this is essentially ground beef, ground pork, there's some peppers, onions, mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
they're familiar with all those things, and then try it and they tend to like it.
So. Okay, so you're going to be known as the man who brought meatloaf to Cota.
I mean, I find myself falling into that ditch.
I think it's very funny that I would say, you know, we all have nightmares from youth, from childhood, mm-hmm. about meatloaf or sloppy joes or something like that.
Exactly.
But we keep drifting back towards the menu, and I know the listeners out there are interested, but what else? What is the most, let's say, exotic dish that you're going to have on the most, let's say, American dish, perhaps more than meatloaf, if it's possible?
I guess the most American thing it would probably just be the staples would be would be like a cheeseburger, but again, different. They have Texas cheeseburgers where they actually cook bacon, which mm-hmm. is expensive and bad here, but you can buy pork belly,
mm-hmm.
cook that, ground it up, put it in the beef, and call it a Texas cheeseburger, mm-hmm. and it would be unique and I think good and very reasonable. Elaborate, before I came here, I enjoyed a great deal cooking sous vide, the under vacuum technique that the French do. It's essentially you suck all the air out of a bag and cook it in a warm water bath.
Huh.
So you never overcook anything, you never undercook anything. Say I want exactly this many degrees.
Wow. I'm not familiar with this. Well, you know,
it's delicious. I'll have to.
I don't like cooking. I mean, that's I can do things. I can, you know, I can cook things. It's of no enjoyment to me at all.
Sure.
But then that's where we differ.
For some people, not others.
But you know, I mean, as I say, it's a tough business to be in, and you're constantly, you know, let's say under the microscope. If something turns out even slightly mediocre or slightly less than great.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone nowadays thinks that they're a foodie
mm-hmm.
because everyone watches the Bourdain shows or everyone watches a cooking show. I mean, how many are there in the Spanish language? How many are there in the English language? How many are there? God knows. Everyone thinks, yeah, and everybody takes wretched photos with Instagram
of
their food.
Of their food.
So you're going to have to make sure of the presentation, the flavor, everything. I mm-hmm. mean, it's a remarkably stressful industry to be in. Are you yes. ready for this?
I hope so. I think so. And part of me think that those issues are very valid. I think they're a little bit smaller here in Colombia. If you look at one of the conventional Colombian dishes is a picada.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, pork, beef, big. It's not aesthetically very pleasing. It's not incredibly seasoning. There's nothing fantastic about it, I guess. There's nothing knock you on your socks, going back to an earlier conversation we had about Peruvian food and Colombian food.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great number of ways to improve that. So, yes, people are seeing it on TV. I think in Colombia it's far, far less. And given the reasonable resources, I think I can make a very good product. Very reasonable.
And are you going to be you're coming from outside? You're going to create an evolution in Cota's culinary landscape because, I mean, you know, meatloaf and the other options, the offerings that you have, but you'll use spices.
Yeah.
Which Colombians kind of, let's say, shirk from. I mean,
yeah, you know, it's at the best an afterthought.
Yeah, and because I mean, there was a blog cat that came out that's been pretty polemic of late. It was written by a former Reuters correspondent for like Pakistan and Afghanistan, who's been living in the last year here in Colombia. His name's Chris Albritton, and he wrote a blog saying 10 things he hates about Bogota. They're all very valid points. I can move past them.
Yes.
I've been here for 8 years, whatever, but one of them was the food, and he mm-hmm. says, of course, you know, the corrientazo is just the regular sort of, let's say, the blue plate special of the day,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is pretty much yesterday's rice with with a piece of meat and potatoes, and you know, you got three pieces of carbohydrates on the plate there as well. And his expression was, well, of course, everybody loves the juices and the fruit juices because it's the most flavorsome thing that comes with the lunch. So,
delicious, right?
But I mean, you know, perhaps he was a bit harsh on that. How are you going to? I mean, Colombians, I don't know. For example, if I take my brother-in-law, he. Even pepper, like ground pepper on his food, is too spicy for him.
And he's used to here?
Yeah, in Colombia. So I wonder, you know, I wonder how it's going to go.
It's definitely a work in progress. But it's a lot of Colombian food traditionally is very bland, but it certainly doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something they dislike. Spicy, I think Americans or people from outside, people from the United States, England, English speakers tend to think, oh, Colombian food, that must be like Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it were, but that's not the fact. Spicy, yes, you have to tread very lightly on that. That's why, at least with my girlfriend's family, friends here, any spice that I add, I try to do on the side, not in the actual dish, and then people can add it accordingly. But as far as herbs and things like that, it might be uncommon, but they don't necessarily dislike it.
Okay.
Or I've often done side-by-side. Well, this is, without anything, this is how I would eat it if I was making it. And they do enjoy it, especially after time.
Okay. Well, yeah, you've been, let's say, the slow attrition of towards your Colombian family and your cooking. Very interesting. We're talking to Matt Rhines of New Hampshire, who'll be opening up his restaurant, The American Kitchen, in May. Don't go away. We'll be right back with further anecdotes from Matt.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here in Bogota with Matt Rhines. And we've been talking about Matt's new venture, and that's opening a restaurant called The American Kitchen in Cota, which is a suburb of Bogota. For those of you who've been out to the original Andres Carne de Res, it's sort of, you know, in that sort of direction when you're going out. Not as far, because that's in Chía, Cota's beforehand. But we've been talking about it. We've been talking about the menu. We've been talking about the potential clients and how it's going to build. I mean, what we haven't discussed, I mean, you know, you've told me, we know the name. There's the Facebook page, American Kitchen. You can look it up. But I mean, what's the decor going to be? Because if you tell me you're opening like an American restaurant, I'm thinking of Ed's Diner right now. I'm thinking of, you know, Formica and, you know, the nice polished silver and everything. But what is going to be your decor there in the American Kitchen?
Well, that's a good point. First of all, American food is almost a misnomer because we haven't really created anything other than, I guess, maybe comfort food and jazz music. I don't think there are any real American art forms. So we've taken everything from different portions of the world. The decor, the best way to say it is there is a already made existing concrete table which would serve as a counter for any type of business, anything at all, right in the middle. To the left of that is a kitchen, and to the right of that would be the dining area and then room for outside seating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing everything to the left of it, and my girlfriend is doing everything to the right in terms of decor. Now, she's Colombian and has never been to the United States, but she is familiar, and she's studying up, as patriotic and nationalistic as I may be, red, white, and blue can be a little garish, so want to be a little bit understated. I would like to have a lot of the local flavor. I associate myself most with Boston, so some things from the United States as far as antiques, sports things, stuff like that. Very, very eclectic is my best interpretation of how we're going to move forward with the decor.
So she's studying up, let's say, is she watching, you know, Americano on TV? You know, I don't know, is she boning up on like Gossip Girl and things like that?
Fortunately not Gossip Girl.
Good.
But given all Colombians at some level or another, English does register.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to say I refuse, but I don't watch movies in Spanish. It's just not quite as enjoyable, and I'm not quite up to fluent. I'm functional, but I wouldn't say fluent. And so she's subjected to watching all my movies in English, and she reads the subtitle. So she assimilates a lot. She's learning. It's interesting to her. We hope to go back. either this fall or the following spring, depending on how things shake out. And just kind of look around, see what we can put together.
Nice one. That about the movies is interesting, because I won't watch a movie that's dubbed. If it's originally in Spanish, I'll watch it in Spanish. If it's originally in English, I'm just not watching it dubbed. It's because it's the same people who dub it, and the expressions are bad. But anyway, we're digressing here. there was something interesting that came out of this, really, just this last conversation that we had, and you're saying, you know, your girlfriend's doing everything to the right, and you're doing everything to the left, and you're going to have some sort of curiosities items, let's say, from Boston, antique sports stuff. But it's a venture between you and your girlfriend. But how are you going to go about employing, your staff? I mean, it's a small place, but you're going to have to employ some people.
Yes, given that it's a small place, and there are a fair number of residents in Kota, I think starting it would just be part time, kind of somebody to do cook prep work and then cleaning, because I'd rather not clean.
Sure, I understand that.
And it's very reasonable, but the fact of the matter is, here in Colombia, and especially in Kota, it's not rare to have a housekeeper come in.
Mm-hmm.
You pay her for a day's work. It's very, I mean, we would call it under the table, or I would call it under the table, off the books, however you want to do it. And that's kind of how we'll ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the point, ideally, you mentioned Andres Del Rey, which sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Far cry at this point. But at the point where I outgrow my current site,
mm-hmm.
that's when it becomes more official, more paperwork-oriented, things like that. At this point, don't think it's going to be necessary, knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, rather than saying under the table, I would say here in Colombia, informal.
Informal, because
the informal market here is immense, and it's a problem as well, because it doesn't allow us to, let's say, pay into pension funds for our staff and into health things, and then people don't want to be, don't get me wrong, some people don't want to be formalized into this, because then they lose handouts from the government as well. So there's this sort of perpetual cycle of keeping themselves down, let's say. But anyway, that's another story. So you're going to employ some people, this is good, and you make sure they're from the area as well, because that will win you the friends.
Right.
Very important.
More people to tell.
More people, and to look out for your business as well. Now, one thing that always comes to the fore in these sort of things, you're a foreigner, you're creating a business, how are you going about the paperwork? I know a fair bit about paperwork here with the hotel and being a journalist and whatever, but it's a nightmare. How is it for a restaurant?
I don't know a fair amount. What I do... This is kind of interesting. So we're kind of on a small strip. We have a neighbor, which is another restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then slightly down the road a little bit more is a pizza or Italian food. Very good, by the way. And then there's convenience. It's a residential area, but there still is spatterings
mm-hmm.
of commercial little stores. Kind of unique, not unique to Colombia, but
mm-hmm.
it's not a zoning issue like we have in other places. And I would like papers for everything tomorrow. If everything is on the up and up, then I can forget about it. Once it's done, you put the little piece of paper in the window,
mm-hmm.
and then everything is done. I've gotten some blowback by other businesses in Kota.
Really?
That if you have papers, then we need papers.
Now,
fortunately, as we may have talked about, the idea is to make this Zona Se,
mm-hmm.
a junior version of Zona Hay.
So it's like a Zona Comida.
Exactly.
Okay, Zona Food.
For Comida.
Yeah,
food.
Okay.
Now, once we do that, the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah.
I do believe, from what I understand, the paperwork in Kota is far easier than in Bogota, which is good anecdotal. The biggest issue I found, and this isn't specific to restaurant, is that each day is different in Colombia. You
mm-hmm.
may walk through the door to file papers on something, and it takes you 30 minutes, and it may take you 3 hours.
Yep.
depending on the disposition of the person.
And if the government's decided to move the goalposts from one to the other, because they're very good at that here. They're very good at that too. But the paperwork. Now, that's interesting that, you're being sort of, let's say, sounded out. If you get paperwork, we'll need paperwork. But then, of course, you'll need to be the formal person because you're the gringo. And the first people they check up on is the gringo. I mean, that's the way it is. That's how it happens for me in my small town. Is I have to make sure that my documents, my paperwork, which are all impeccable, by the way, to everyone out there, before anyone thinks of it, I've been visited by everyone on every level just because of jealousy, mainly from rival businesses.
That's where I lean on
your girlfriend.
My girlfriend's family, as they know more of the inner workings. Her family's been residents of Suva, right next door, for years and years and years. So you're exactly right. I don't stick out like a sore thumb. I'm not 7 feet tall or anything else.
But you're not Altiplano short.
Right. I'm regular height for an American, which is a little tall here. Hair's a little light. Eyes are a little different. So I do have people stop me once in a while in Kota. So as it develops, it's going to be an issue. I hate to say it, I'm kind of dumping it in my girlfriend's
life. No, but it makes sense. It makes sense to me to do that. And then to have most things in her name, if possible, as well. You know,
yeah, it's her family's name.
Yeah, because otherwise, you start tying yourself up with all sorts of legal, legal interests.
Yes.
I've now had to hire people to do my stuff for me because I can't. There's someone out there who definitely knows better than me.
Exactly.
and knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more likely to lose my temper. and that doesn't work on anything here.
I find as my fluency gets better and better, that's when my temperature also, I run a little hot and I...
Yeah, but it does, because
running my mouth a little bit.
And the problem is, and of course, you've got this. You run your mouth, and then people, they do understand. they understand.
Yes.
When you're being polite, perhaps they understand, but when you're being insulting, perhaps they understand better.
Yeah,
I have to be very, very careful about that, indeed. But very interesting. I mean, so we've got the American kitchen, the decor you're working on. I mean, I believe you're doing it yourself, the carpentry inside. Yeah.
Such as it is, yes.
And your girlfriend's doing the decor. So, I mean, this is grassroots stuff. I mean, you're really starting out of nothing, and we wish you all the best with this venture. I'm at some point or another, we'll get in a car, and my wife and I will come out there to Kota. It's not every day that we're in Kota, but let me see. And which days of the week? I mean, are you going to be running every single day of the week, or which days are you going to be open, do you think? I mean, what hours?
I'd love to be open every day of the week. I don't think it'll happen, especially as I am doing some building of tables, chairs, things like that. Tentatively, I want to do 6 days a week. I guess it's maybe an American thing, but seeing places close down in very, very high rent areas of Bogota on a Sunday when I can't imagine what their rent is, it kind of baffles me. So maybe I don't love it, but maybe close on Monday, open Sunday through Saturday. Yeah. Monday will be my day to work on projects or things like that. And then hours, I need to stay open late enough for the people who do commute from Kota into Bogota to work and then commute back, which pushes, I'm between 8 and 9 at this point, I'm not sure. And in the morning, I don't think I can nor would I want to get there early enough for any
breakfast.
Sort of breakfast, no. So... I want to be there before noon, but...
And what sort of price range are we looking at your dishes, let's say?
Inexpensive, along the lines of the quick food that you receive here, somewhere along the lines of 10 to 12,000 pesos, which call it $5 or $6, I guess, which probably sounds a little too inexpensive for anybody not familiar with Colombia, but... $5 or $6, you try and keep your food cost to a couple of dollars. That'll go quite a ways.
Yeah, and if you think, I mean, you're probably not your market, but if the minimum, if you're an informal worker, you're looking at getting like sort of 10,000 pesos a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's significant, but you're looking at a bracket above that. But equally, Interesting. Very interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how this pans out, Matt. And I'd like to thank you for being on the show. And
thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And you know, everyone out there, please, if you're coming to Colombia, if you're heading out to Cota and those areas, or if you're going out to like Zipaquirá, or you know, these, it's a sort of, you know, you can do a through route this way. Check out American Kitchen, the American Kitchen, and you can see that on Facebook as American Kitchen. Later on, when I have more information, I'll definitely put it on the website and everything, and spam
so.
Facebook and stuff. But I think I'd love to know later on, you know, in a few months or maybe in a year, how this has gone, and we can sit down again and talk about it. You know, if it's been a roaring success, or heavens forbid it hasn't. You know,
either way, it'll make
for good copy. No. So anyway, so thank you once again. This has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And yes, we'll be back next week with more interesting interviewees.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.